From the Radio Ranch in beautiful Sugar Land, Texas, where life truly is sweeter. It's the Bombastic Blogcast from Monday, February 12, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
There yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, and one heck of a nice guy. Since it is Monday, let's do that Monday march back to work. Come on, just straighten out your backbone, take a deep breath, put a smile on your face, even if you have to force it, and keep a prayer on your lips. Everything is going to be just fine. Now, let's get things officially started with
the Daily Denogram.
Yep, words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. It says here, a short pencil is more reliable than the longest memory. Yeah, but you still have to remember where you put the note to yourself.
I'll never forget this.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of the program, shall we?
Twisted History.
This is it.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
To be sure.
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same, you need to know your Twisted History.
Yes, you do.
You might be quizzed.
Would we do that to you, huh? Well, kids, it was on this day in 1947, Christian Dior unveiled a new look, helping Paris regain its position as the capital of the fashion world. He started with a special selection of designer white flags. And it was on this day in 1994, four thieves broke into the National Gallery of Norway and stole Edvard Munch's iconic painting, The Scream. It's been one of my favorite paintings. Because it depicts the way most of us look when we see our grocery or utility bill. Since it's Monday, I thought we'd start with, a little levity, although there's nothing really funny about what I'm about to play for you. You probably heard this because it's been played over and over again on conservative radio, conservative television. In fact, I'm probably the last on the block to play this for you, but I want to play it for you again. Because there's a little commentary after it. Now, this is Karine Jean-Pierre. I wish she had a simpler name. Karine Jean-Pierre, when she was announcing the deaths of those three service people over in Iraq? And, or was that Syria? Anyhow, and she made that stupid statement about they gave their lives serving the administration. Give this a listen.
Obviously, our deepest condolences go out, and our heartfelt condolences go out to the families who lost three folks who are military folks who are brave, who are always fighting, who are fighting on behalf and of this administration.
Hi, Corinne, military wife here. Just so you know, the United States military does not fight on behalf of your administration. Doesn't fight on behalf of any administration. The United States military fights on behalf of the United States and the United States Constitution. The three U.S. soldiers who were killed in Jordan over the weekend and the 34 others who were injured were there defending the freedom and liberty of Americans. This is what happens when you hire a black lesbian simply because she's a black lesbian and not because she's any good at her job. It should be illegal to be this incompetent. Three U.S. soldiers are dead. And the most this woman has to offer is to mumble some incoherent sounds like a stroke victim. Now, maybe if we had a president who knew his head from a hole in the wall, whose fortitude on the world stage was stronger than a wet spaghetti noodle, we wouldn't have dead soldiers and a press secretary who has all the intellectual capacity of a bean sprout.
Thank God for military wives who post on TikTok and other forms of social media. They're out there policing this stuff. This last 3 years and some change with Joe Biden in the White House has actually been, I think, worse than under Jimmy Carter. Not much worse, but then, you know, if you're going to compare yourself to Jimmy Carter, you're talking about something that is as bad as things could possibly get. And that's where we were with Jimmy Carter. That's where we are now with Joe Biden. And I have this fearless prediction. Joe Biden will not be running for re-election. I can just about guarantee you that he will not be running for re-election. So who's Donald Trump going to go up against? Well, I think you have to bring into the equation one of the reasons Nikki Haley won't give up the ghost. She won't just cash in her chips and go home. And also, this is going to give Gavin Newsom a chance to lied to us in a big form because, you know, he said, what was that he was talking to? He was interviewed by. And he said, no, I'm definitely not running for president. Definitely not running for president. He'll be running. Now, will there be a primary where they're going to have to fight it out? Is he going to have to fight it out between himself and Kamala Harris? Who knows? But my fearless prediction is Joe Biden will not be running for re-election. We got a lot of time between now and November, and that was not a good week last week for Joe Biden. We'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But I want you to hear this. This is really good. I love it when people post on either YouTube or TikTok or any one of these other social media outlets, and they do these short little humorous bits. Listen to this gal.
I am a never Trumper. You see, I am actually enjoying the war between Russia and Ukraine. Lots of wars taking place right now, and it keeps things exciting. And I know Trump would try to end that. I'm also a never Trumper because Trump has promised to secure our southern border. And I'm a people person. Yeah, some of them might be terrorists or drug traffickers or human traffickers, but some of them might not be. I'm a never Trumper because Trump says things that bother me, and I don't vote on policy. I vote on my feelings. I'm a never Trumper because Trump says that he wants to put America first, and that means that another country is going to come in second, and that country's feelings are going to be hurt. And I'm a never Trumper because the idea of owning nothing, eating bugs, and being promised happiness from the elites is appealing to me. So join me in this never Trump movement. Vote your feelings.
And really, that's all the sense this makes. Never Trumpers. Really? And then we find out that a roster of Silicon Valley billionaires has some of the richest Republican donors writing big checks for Nikki Haley's run. They haven't given up on this. Now, Haley's presidential campaign is fueled in large part, according to the Epoch Times, by cash from anti-Trump billionaires, according to new federal disclosures. And I want to thank Austin Alonzo at the Epoch Times for doing the digging and the investigating, because Haley has already raised $41.6 million in just the second half of 2023 from just a handful of billionaire donors who either funded former President Trump in the past or have never supported him. And according to year-end Federal Election Commission filings, the former U.S. ambassador is linked to several organizations significantly bolstering her financial position. So the other day, when I asked why won't she give up the ghost and just go home, there you have it. If you recall, on a couple of blogcasts ago, I also mentioned somebody is propping her up, and I want to know who it is. Well, now we're finding out. So at the beginning of 2024, Haley's network gave her access to about $22.3 million in cash, spendable money, money that can be spent on a good or not so good propaganda campaign. Now, Haley's linked to four organizations outside of her principal campaign committee. And her principal campaign committee is Nikki Haley for President, Inc. And they are, these four outfits are SFA Fund, Inc., which is a hybrid political action committee. There's Team Stand for America, a non-qualified joint fundraising committee. Stand for America PAC, which is a qualified, unauthorized PAC. And Stand for America, Inc., which is a tax-exempt nonprofit, a 501c34 social welfare organization. Now, in 2023, the groups, with the exception of the nonprofit, which doesn't disclose its finances at the same rate as bodies regulated by the FEC, raised more than $129 million in total receipts in 2023 while spending more than $108 million. Now, SFA Fund, Inc. raked in the most with about $68.9 million coming in last year. Team Stand for America and Stand for America, Inc. sent the hybrid pack about $2.2 million in 2023. Another approximately $1.2 million came from Win Red, which is a hybrid PAC collecting online donations for Republican candidates. A majority of SFA Fund's haul came from deep-pocketed supporters looking for an alternative to President Trump. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I understand why there are people who want an alternative to Donald Trump. If he appeared to be a kinder, gentler kind of a guy, I don't think there would be a problem. But unfortunately, for some people, he's a little bit too bombastic. But that's Donald Trump. And that's how he managed to keep us out of war when he took the White House. That's how he made the economy really sing. And that's how he worked out a trade deal with China that ultimately brought us the pandemic. But that's another topic for another time. So, some of the people who are mentioned as bigwigs in this fundraising campaign for Nikki Haley are Jan Koum, I think I'm pronouncing that right, or Koum, and he's a co-founder and former CEO of messaging application WhatsApp. And then the app was acquired by Facebook in 2014 for $19.3 billion. And Forbes right now estimates that Mr. Koum is worth $15.3 billion. Not too shabby. Then there's Paul Singer, the founder, president, co-CEO, and co-chief investment officer at Elliott Investment Management. He gave $5 million to the SFA fund in December. And according to Forbes, Mr. Singer is worth about $6.1 billion. In terms of political donations, he's a consistent donor to Republicans seeking federal office, as well as the major Republican-aligned PACs and committees, like the Republican National Committee. Ken Griffin, founder, CEO, and co-chief investment officer of Citadel Investment Group. And he gave a total of $5 million to the SFA fund in December of 2023. Griffin, according to Forbes, is worth about $36.9 billion, making him one of the 50 wealthiest people in the world. So when you look at the $5 million he gave to the SFA fund, well, that's chump change. Politically, though, I think it's interesting to note, politically, Griffin constantly donates to Republican candidates and Republican causes and focuses a lot of his spending on Illinois. Obviously, but not much result, but between 2017 and 2022, he made 25 donations totaling $5 million or more. So then there's Patrick Ryan, chairman of Minneapolis-based construction and planning company Ryan Companies U.S. Inc., gave $2.5 million to the SFA fund in December, according to FEC filings. Now, Mr. Ryan's not to be confused with another Republican donor by the same name. And we're going to mention him in a minute. So it's not a major political donor. According to Open Secrets records, he's given smaller amounts to Ms. Haley and her associated funds in 2023. There's Shirley Ryan, CEO and chairman of early childhood development advocacy group Pathways.org, who donated $2.5 million to the SFA fund in December. She's married to Patrick Ryan, the founder, chairman, and CEO of Ryan Specialty LLC of Chicago. Mr. Ryan, according to Forbes, is worth about $9.2 billion. And the Ryan family is a significant benefactor to Northwestern University. Additionally, Mr. Ryan's part owner of the National Football League's Chicago Bears. Tim Draper, founder and managing partner of California-based Draper Associates and a member of the wealthy Draper family, gave $1 million to the SFA fund in September, bringing his total contributions to $2.25 million. Forbes estimates that that he's worth about $1.2 billion. There's James Davis, the owner and chairman of shoe and sporting goods company New Balance. He gave about $2.5 million to the SFA fund between October and December of 2023. I kind of like this guy. New Balance is the only domestic shoemaker, athletic shoemaker. And New Balance, a little pricey, but not designer prices. And they're good shoes. I have a pair of those. And, God, I bought them years and years and years ago, and they still hold up. They're great. But anyhow, Davis, who purchased the Boston Shoemaker in 72, is worth an estimated $5.7 billion, according to Forbes. Warren and Harriet Stevens. Now, Warren Stevens, who's the chairman, president, and CEO of Stevens, Inc., and his wife, Harriet Stevens, gave more than $2 million to the SFA fund between September and November of 2023. According to Forbes, Stevens is worth an estimated $3.2 billion. David and Jennifer Millstone, one former key DeSantis donor who flipped to Ms. Haley last year. David Millstone, He's the co-CEO of New York-based Standard Industries, Inc., and his wife, Jennifer Millstone, donated a total of $1.6 million to the SFA Fund between October and December 2023. Who else we got on the list here? Oh, yeah, David and Nicole Tepper. David Tepper is the president and founder of Appaloosa Management, and his wife, Nicole Tepper, gave about $1.5 million to the SFA Fund between November and December. And Mr. Tepper is the owner of the NFL's Carolina Panthers, worth an estimated $20.6 billion, according to Forbes. And they have other million-dollar donors. Three others gave a million or more to the SFA Fund in 2023. Oil heir Ray Hunt and his wife Nancy donated $1.2 million to the SFA Fund. And Mr. Hunt, Ray Hunt, is a son of H.L. Hunt, part of the Texas oil billionaire family that Forbes estimated to be worth about $15.5 billion. They used to have a house on White Rock Lake in Dallas. And in the 2016 cycle, both Mr. and Mrs. Hunt supported former Florida Governor Jeb Bush's PAC. Right to Rise was the name of it. Wow. So there you have it. The basic big names with the big bucks all going to Nikki Haley. So if you're wondering why she's not pulling out, there you go. As bad as last week was for Joe Biden, it was about that good a week for Donald Trump. He's doing okay. You know, when you consider all these indictments and these attempts to put him away or whatever they're going to try to do before November, he's doing real well. He's holding up beautifully. And he's added another presidential endorsement to his list of supporters, with the Florida Republican Party announcing officially that they're throwing their weight behind the former president as he runs toward a victory in November. And the Republican Party of Florida said in a post on X, quote, "Today, the Florida GOP proudly endorsed Trump for president. It's time Republicans come together to defeat Biden and save the future of our nation." I like that statement. The only thing wrong with it is Donald Trump is not going to be running against Joe Biden. I firmly believe that. Pardon my redundancy, because I just mentioned that a few minutes ago in the first segment. But, you know, if you want people to remember things, you got to keep it simple and repeat. Biden will not be running for re-election. Smart Money says he's going to be out of the race by May. So you want to write that down so that you call me on it after May? Anyhow, the decision to endorse President Trump was taken at the Florida GOP's annual meeting in Wesley Chapel. That happened on Friday. And the party endorsement is unusual in light of the timing of past endorsements, given that Trump still faces a primary challenge. The decision is widely seen as a vote of confidence in the view that Trump has all but officially clinched the Republican nomination. Now, Florida State Representative Dean Black, he's chairman of the Duval County Republican Party, made the motion to endorse Trump, and basically expressing the view that it's obvious who the GOP nominee will be. I mean, you look at the numbers, Trump is so far ahead of everybody else. So Mr. Black wrote in a post on X, he says, "The primary is over. Now is the time to unite and deliver victory in Florida for real Donald Trump." And the vote on the endorsement came just a day after Trump's historic primary in the victory in the Nevada deal. That was huge. In fact, he set a new record for the most votes received. Not too shabby. So Trump's primary win in Nevada followed record-breaking results in two other states, Iowa and New Hampshire. So, you know, last week, Biden's week was just filled with nothing but gaffes and problems and just, I mean, the man doing everything except falling asleep in front of the public. And then all the things that went wrong for Donald or for Joe Biden. I mean, as bad as it was that good for Donald Trump. It was a great week for Donald Trump. And face it, Trump's a winner. Biden's a loser. And as bombastic as Trump's personality is, that is really what it's going to take to win the White House in November. It just, I don't know. It's the mood of the American people. The American people are angry. They're mad. They're sick and tired of being sick and tired of the politicians. And I think this is what has all the politicians pissed off, is the fact that Donald Trump is not really a politician. Oh, he's a hell of a salesman. That's how he became the kind of a man that he is. But he's not really a politician. And the American people don't want a politician. They really don't. Because they understand that it's the politicians who have been screwing us. You and I have been getting screwed by the politicians. Not all politicians. There are some really good ones out there. And lately, another good one. And, geez, I can't imagine her not being selected for some kind of a cabinet post. And that would be MTG of Georgia. Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's awesome. I'd like to see Kristi Noem get in there somehow, too. I'm sure she will. She's good. She's really good. I'm listing names that I think really need to be in the Trump White House. Byron Donalds of Florida. Holy cow, that guy is good. Ooh, he's good. And Lieutenant Governor of, is it North Carolina? Mark Robinson? Is it North Carolina? Dadgummit, I don't have any crew here to cue me on that. Why don't we look it up? I've never done this before, but I'm gonna look this up right now. Light Governor Gov of North Carolina. Mark Robinson. There you go. Okay, so it's North Carolina. And boy, that guy's great. Want to hear a speech of his, just go to YouTube. He's all over the place. And before you start, be sure you have a box of Kleenex handy. You're going to need it. The guy is that good. So, he first came to my attention on YouTube when he addressed a school board. It was a school board or city council? City council. And it had to do with the Second Amendment. And he made the case so clear, so crystal clear. It was great. And I wanted to know, who is this guy? Well, he surfaced again on YouTube a couple of months later, and it was a political issue. And I thought, wait a minute, who is this guy? Apparently he's, he comes across like he's a preacher. I don't know that he is. Good Christian man. So, it was really funny. These last two people, Mark Robinson, Byron Donalds, they're black. Republicans, good conservatives. You want to turn this country around? Here's how you do it, my friend. You enlist as many black conservatives as you can, and you get them to run for public office. That really, I guarantee you, will turn this country around. And a place you might want to start? Start on the south side of Chicago, where that idiot mayor they've got up there has been giving away the store to all the illegal aliens, and in the process has been displacing lifelong Chicagoans on the south side of Chicago. Yes, people of color. And they're fed up with it. There are a lot of black Americans now who are going to vote Republican, at least in this election coming up in November. They're going to vote for Trump. And Trump will do right by them. He really will. I just know he will. But I think it would be great to see some of these high-profile and not-so-high-profile black conservatives really, really get into that Trump cabinet and work their magic, because the timing is so perfect for it. The story came in late Saturday afternoon, early Saturday evening, I guess. But President Trump was talking again, and he took aim at the U.S. Senate regarding foreign aid. And he did it via his Truth Social post. And he said that moving forward, no foreign aid should ever be given to any country unless it comes with strings attached. Now that's the kind of thing I can get behind. Here's what he wrote. He said, from this point forward, are you listening, U.S. Senate? No money in the form of foreign aid should be given to any country unless it's done as a loan, not just a giveaway. Well, yeah, because it's not the government's money, right? And then he continued. He said, it can be loaned on extraordinarily good terms, like no interest and an unlimited life, but a loan nevertheless. If the country we are helping ever turns against us or strikes it rich sometime in the future, the loan will be paid off and the money returned to the United States. What is not to love about that? See, here's the deal. Trump's comments followed the U.S. Senate advancing a foreign aid package that provides $95 billion to Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, and Gaza. It's a lot of darn money. And I understand Israel, I understand Taiwan, don't understand Ukraine and Gaza. Then Rand Paul, meanwhile, is attempting to slow down passage of the foreign aid package in the legislative chamber, so we'll see what happens. Senator Mike Lee criticized the package. He argued against that foreign aid bill because it forces us taxpayers to secure other nations' borders while the American border remains wide open. Basically, he says, we're willing to spend that on Ukraine's border security. Why not ours? And earlier in the week, the House of Representatives failed to pass legislation that would send Israel $17.6 billion. You see, these days, anytime the government wants to spend money, it's never a smaller amount than the amount that begins with the B, billions. Years ago, we used to spend millions. Now we start at spending billions of dollars and then work our way up from there into the trillions. And it's all for money that goes to countries that have nothing to do with our own personal security. And that's what really honks me off. I mean, why do we keep voting for these knuckleheads? There's got to be a way to put a stop to this. To the Comedy Corner with a newbie. His name is Phil Pelisol, and he's funny.
Got an anniversary coming up, which I'm looking forward to. I got to get my wife something good. Oh, hey, you want to go in on something? We can do that. This is from me and three women from Utah. There you go. Yeah. I took her bungee jumping last year. That's what she really wanted to do, bungee jumping and... Anybody done it? Anybody done bungee jumping? Have you done it? Really? Good for you. Good for you. You're brave. Good for you. How far did you bunge? You don't even know? I think that'd be the first thing I'd find out. Yeah. How far to the ground? Mm-hmm. And how far is the rope? Okay. Yeah, I'd have just checked into it a little bit more, I think. But good for you. What did you jump off of? What was it? OT Tower. Yeah, that sounds like they've got all their insurance paperwork up to date. Minimalist space. Were you afraid when you did it? Yeah, good for you. That's brains. That's what that's called. We went from a hot air balloon. You ever hear of anything like that? Yeah, well, here's what's going to happen. We're going to go up in the mountains. Great day. We're going to go up in the mountains, up in the air in a hot air balloon, 250 feet. She's going to bungee from the balloon 220 feet. We get in the basket. On the way up, this guy leans over me and said, listen, sometimes people are afraid to go. She don't go on a count of three. You think you can push her? Yes. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love my wife and everything, but there isn't a married guy in this room that wouldn't just like to one time. Oh, it is therapeutic. Everything comes out. I pushed her it too. I couldn't help it. To be like that, and don't get me wrong, man, I love my wife. I'm crazy about that woman, but I just get so aggravated at her sometimes. We argue, geez almighty, we argue over the stupidest, littlest, teeniest, tiniest, couldn't possibly matter. I can't load a dishwasher wrong. It's not like I'm taping the dishes to the outside of the machine and standing there like a little. It's the first dish. Until you're happy. But that
That's what you fight about. The big stuff. Big stuff, you lean on each other, and it's really, really great. But the little. We had an argument one time, half an hour, whether or not a dolphin is a fish. 30 minutes, whether or not a dolphin. I mean, I know that a dolphin's not a fish. Now. Would you at least admit that it lives a fish lifestyle?
Get on out there and make it a great Monday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
Tomorrow, G-Man.